Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz fan cast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your co-host, out of funny things to say, Jake.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
This week's episode, Amnesty, episode 19, and the Hunt finale.
All right. A quick synopsis. As you mentioned, Chris, the hunt is over.
They found Red October. Thank goodness. Yeah, Sean Connery can now go retire and fish in peace.
Is that how that
What do you think
ends?
That movie was about?
That's the whole thing. He defects and he keeps talking about wanting to go fishing, and then it shows him sailing the submarine up the thing, and then Sean Connery's going to go fishing.
Dog, spoiler alerts. I haven't seen it.
The movie came out in like 1982.
It was on my list. I just didn't get to it this October.
It's only in October when you can watch Tom Clancy movies?
No, The Hunt for Red October. Come on, man.
That's right. I forgot it's a seasonal release.
Yeah. Yeah. And it came out in 1990. Thank you very much.
That is later than I would have thought.
It came out in March of 1990.
Well, it doesn't even make any sense. They didn't even know where October was that year.
Maybe that's why they were searching for it. They were so lost. Is it over here? Nope.
It's a good bit.
It's a great bit. As for what happened this episode, they fought a tree and won. Mama came back from wherever she's been hiding the past four episodes. And then Minerva died? I think that's about it. I don't think she died, but I think her transmission died. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, this episode strangely simultaneously wrapped up a whole bunch of plot points and also did, again, not much of anything. I just don't understand. I think I'm losing a bit of my patience for the Amnesty plot line, and I'm failing to comprehend a lot of maybe the nuance in some of the episodes. So every time I come by, I was like, okay, so what? They just fought the tree, and I guess Minerva's dead.
You know, this Mr. is Tarkesian, normally where I would chime moment. In to say, oh, but wait, like, be positive here. Except I'm
but
starting
Chris,
to get
that's
to the
not
same...
how mysteries work.
What?
But Chris, that's not how mysteries work. Look at all these clues that you didn't pay attention to.
Yeah, except I'm starting to get to the same point where you are. Because
it's tough.
It's been rough. You know, and so for me, the biggest offender this episode was, oh yes, this tree is splitting its branches and making multiple timelines, and did it matter at all? Nope.
Right. I think that might be maybe my biggest problem is I didn't conceptually understand what this hunt was about. So this tree exists somehow, and I just missed how it exists, but it's also controlling time, and Duck's a bad botanist and didn't figure it out, and then they had to kill the tree with nails? Because that's like a legend thing, and what? Come what? Help
but,
anybody.
But wait,
help.
wait. Don't forget that in the middle of the climactic action, we're going to stop and do a flashback.
Collaborate and listen.
Let's just rewind like 10 years, break the flow of the episode, and let's have a little flashback.
Yeah, super important character development to how Aubrey loves
approval.
David Copperfield.
Yeah, super important. There's no better time for it in this arc than in the middle of a fight.
You know, and all that right, was the thing that frustrated me, because up until we started breaking out, Like, I thought the episode was doing really good. Like, okay, like, we're rolling dice, we're making plans, we're acting on information, we've all got a little bit of action going on.
Yeah, the planning went pretty fast this time, which I think was great. Like, there wasn't this sort of drawn-out confusion.
You know, and it really helped that Mama just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, fuck. What is her character doing?
Yeah, yeah. I thought her anger slash indignation was like, girl, where the fuck you been?
Right. You don't get to be mad if you didn't even show up.
Yeah. Just, like, you don't know what's happening under your own roof. Get your house in order.
All right.
Get your lodge in order.
We're a little scattered. We all have some emotions. Let's answer the questions in the order that I decide takes priority. Question number one. How much better would Aubrey be at Magic if she spent more time watching Chris Angel and not Harry Houdini? Go.
Very. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. How much time do you think she spent watching Harry Houdini?
Too much? In the olden times.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, how many videos of Harry Houdini are there?
Do Chrome, new tab, searching Harry Houdini YouTube. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
My favorite bit. Chris catalogs the internet.
There are 9 different videos of Houdini tricks on the front page of this Google result. I didn't even spell Houdini right.
I'm really upset that you didn't like count them like the count. 1, 2.
Listen, we are trying to make these episodes shorter, so I didn't think I'll go into a diversion, but it doesn't need a diversion with a new character.
3. I mean, it's a known character. I'm just saying, I think it was a right call to watch Harry Houdini.
Mind freak.
Now, if you had said, like, David Blaine.
What a sellout.
Yeah, 100%. It's all about that money.
Wait. Oh, so you think Aubrey should be going after the money.
After the money. The cash money.
All right.
Next priority. Yes.
Why does the tree control time, and how did it get there?
Well, wasn't there like a seed at the end that did nothing with nothing?
Well, and then wasn't also the seed like a magical being made of light, and then didn't the goatmen disappear into magical beings of light when they killed the tree? But Billy was still Ryan Gosling and is not a seed or a magical being of light. So what?
Did the seed disappear?
I thought so.
So
I don't remember.
I thought they turned. So the tree, I thought there's like 3 stages, right? So like there's the physical form, the tree and the goats, the bad goats. There's 2 bad goats and 1 good goat. And one of those bad goats is also kind of half tree sometimes. So they kill all of those things and they turn into like seed light things. But then the light seed thing turns into more of a, like, soul thing that is happy to be released from its corporeal prison, I guess, maybe. And then it's, so, like, how did the things are in the bodies and then they're sad about it but can't get out, so can't get out, are mad, change time, kill people?
Now, I guess that is a question.
Well, it's something. It's definitely not good grammar, but, you know, I said it.
Did the bear abomination and the water monster disappear into similar beings of light?
Not that I recall.
Well, I don't know that we actually see the climax of the bear abomination.
Bear abomination.
Like,
they light the whole cave on fire, and then it's over.
And then, like, there's a Deus Ex...
A baronation.
Wow. That just took too long.
Deus ex fuego.
Well, and then like Mama rushed in and picked up Aubrey and ran out of the cave. And
right. Griffin does tend to jump cut away from the sort of big resolution.
And I mean, the water monster was already a light, so... Like, I don't...
But where does it... That's a good point. Where does it go? Oh, wait, there's a person inside it.
Oh, yeah, and all then, the people-looking things. The hunger, I guess.
So, maybe he's... Maybe Griffin's got a... I mean, there's no way Griffin doesn't have a greater thing going on. So, I guess these are all connected by being people. So, let's pontificate on that for a little bit. How are all these monsters connected? No, wait. First, does anyone know how the tree got there? Did they talk about that?
Well, ostensibly it was from a seed, and then that's what the goat men were growing, right? So
right, but like, did the seed just plant itself by coming through the gate, or was it something?
I mean, else? I thought it was like the goat men were the harbingers of the seed, and they bring it with them, and they plant it, and they grow it. It's never stated outright, but that's sort of what how I understood it. But, okay. Like, let's not, don't let me misconstrue anything. I didn't understand anything that's fucking happening with this thing. Like, I'm sure Griffin has some big, I'm struggling to draw a whole lot of threads between these various things.
Yeah, I'm having trouble as well. You know, and I think part of the reason that's frustrating is because they started to sort of hint at this idea that there was some bigger thread. And then they just sort of didn't give us anything.
Well, we got a little bit more. So Aubrey had the flashback as the interpreter. And weird. Was sort of, yeah, that doesn't make loads of sense. But I guess we're giving Aubrey some telepathic abilities and or lost memories. So if we're trying to draw parallels that, like, maybe the crystal somehow Sylvain's life force is being corrupted and turning people who venture into the wilds into spirits, which are then put into the bodies of bomb-bombs to terrorize Earth because they want to be free? And
that's more plot development than we've gotten in 19 episodes of Amnesty. That might be a little harsh, but, like, we need something.
At least in a succinct form.
We need something.
Like, it'd be nice to revisit. I was thinking about this when they were doing, I don't remember if this was Water Monster or Bomb Bomb, but Travis mentions that Griffin went through and, like, wrote down all the clues they're supposed to know. That might have even been this hunt, and it was just that long ago. But that they then, like, they all had a much clearer understanding of what's going on. It's like, well, could someone share that with us?
Yeah.
Because I'm not, I know I should be, but I'm not taking notes. So if I could have those deets, well, that'd be killer.
I don't, then that's the thing, is like, I don't think we should have to take notes. You know.
Well, we as the casual listener should not. We as three podcast hosts, and this is being our media, should definitely be taking notes. That seems like responsible homeworking.
I disagree.
Surprised face.
I think we in our stance are standing in for the everyman who would not be taking notes.
We've said that a couple times, and I'm beginning to worry that the everyman might be a lot smarter than we are.
Oh, almost certainly.
Oh, yeah, there's no chance they're not.
Also, every person, I suppose.
Yeah, that's fair.
Should be better.
That's very true. But I mean, I'm just, and this probably is a larger topic. Of just like how drawn out this arc has been, or this mini arc. Like, there have been so many live shows and so many breaks from the action that I think in either a tweet or in the show notes itself, it said like, oh, it's the end of the December hunt. This isn't the December hunt, man. This started like back in what?
I mean, it may have started back in last December.
Yes.
Fire.
I mean, it started over the summer sometime for sure. I think it's December in Kepler.
Yeah. That may be fair. Maybe just the way they set it up.
But it is,
it may just been bad luck.
It is a fair point that especially like this arc moved at a relatively fast pace when they were doing it, I think, for at least the plot points they were hitting. But being so spread out, there's no way we could maintain that knowledge across a bunch of them.
Yeah, August. So get this. It started on August 24th in episode 14. This one in December 6th was episode 19. So
it's only been, it's been six episodes and it's taken 4 months.
Yeah, 3.5 to 4 months. Yeah.
3.5 months. Which, so six episodes should take 3 months. I mean, that's the schedule. That's every other week.
Yeah. There were two live shows in there.
Yeah. So we lost fully 1 month and a week of content due to
the delay.
Delays and things.
Yeah.
Or not, we didn't lose the content. We lost the pacing. So it would have been wrapped up before, what's 6 weeks if they had gone straight through? It would be
Halloween.
Just before Halloween.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
We'd probably be done with another hunt if they kept that pace up.
We'd certainly be through.
And I feel like this is such a shitty criticism to hold because it's like, hey, why don't you produce this free content more faster?
Because it's not free content anymore. Like,
that's true.
Like,
I do pay for it.
Yeah, we pay for it.
We're not required to pay for it.
We aren't.
That's true.
But they advertise. They draw income. They quit their other jobs to do this. You know, it is... It's not like us where... And I mean, it started this way. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And, like that, but we just do this in our free time because it's fun for us, you know. But this is their job.
Well, and my big thing, and I've said this before, is not like how often the content comes out or how regularly it comes out, but it's about setting expectations and then meeting those expectations or exceeding those expectations. So if your expectation, and maybe it's my fault for having an expectation that there'll be a new episode within the story every 2 weeks when all they promise is a new episode regardless of what it's about every 2 weeks.
Right.
Because that's the thing, is like if the live shows were communicated ahead of time or delays were communicated ahead of time instead of being, oh, hey, the show's supposed to go out today. Guys, we're sorry. It's not going to make it. Or, hey, surprise, here's a live show that you guys weren't expecting. All that does is draw attention to the fact that, you know, we were expecting an Amnesty episode, and what we got was not an Amnesty episode. And so it's these constant things that are just small disappointments that stick in your mind, whereas if you tell us even a week before, like, hey, guys, it turns out we're going to put out a live show, it's thematic because it's our Halloween special, we really think you're going to love it, and then we'll jump right back into Amnesty... You reframe everybody's expectations, and people don't get frustrated when it's not Amnesty.
Yeah. Well, and to their credit, they did do that this episode. They said we're getting a live up next week, and then they're taking a break. But to your point, Colin, we do that, the podcast, have planned for that, and are now we're sort of making...
Alternate plans. Yeah.
Alternate plans. We don't know what they are yet, but now we know that we need to make them, and that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think, like, we know they won't be hitting Amnesty again until early January. We know that. We can plan on it. We can count on it. Whereas if they don't tell you ahead of time, all you do is you're waiting for the next step in the story. And then when you don't get it, it's almost like when you're walking upstairs and you think there's one more step and you just fall flat footed at the top of the stairs and you're like, oh, shit, I'm already here. It's like when you're expecting something and it doesn't happen, it kind of jolts you.
I don't know what that feeling is like, Colin. Can you describe another thing that might help me figure that out?
It's like when you're walking downstairs and you think there's going to be one more step and then there's not. And then you're jolted a little bit. Get a little jolt. A little jolt.
Chris, what's point number three?
I want Colin to keep saying little jolt with his little hand movement for literally the rest of the podcast.
Little jolt.
I wish I was recording our Discord so I could gif that and send it out to the world.
Little jolt.
Little jolt.
Little jolt.
What's point number three? So, where was Mama? And why doesn't she get to be a character anymore? She seemed awfully important when we started this arc.
I kind of wonder if Griffin wasn't concerned that she was going to become basically a stand-in for the director, like a task giver, and was trying to like make it so that the characters control more of their own, like, here's what you need to do next, and here's what, like, the, it gives the characters more agency, but
Indrid just did that for the last time. Like,
yeah, that's true.
There is always someone driving it, and to an extent, Barclay did it last time with like, "Hey, fix the spa, you have to fix the spa." Like, "Oh no, water monster."
It's a good point. You're right.
So I just think it's strange that she was introduced as such as like a wealth of knowledge and experience they could be pulling on to make this go better. B, someone who holds an important role in the community, I thought. Whether the community is just the lodge or the community is Kepler at large, you know, Mama is a known quantity and seems to be valuable there. And then three, she seems to have immediately taken on these completely novice people and then become derelict in her duties as a member of the Pine Guard. Like, she's still a member of the Pine Guard. She's supposed to be out there fighting monsters, and maybe she's doing something else. But if she's doing something else, I think we need that Mama subplot to be present, because I do not want a whole episode where Griffin just does a Mama monologue to get us caught up on her adventures in Sylvain or something.
A Mama-log?
I just walked right in.
Yeah, you really did.
But it's so good.
It doesn't offend me as deeply as they normally do.
I mean, I agree. I don't, when she, and I already mentioned this, when she came back and she was angry at Aubrey, and it's like, what? You haven't been there. You're supposed to be part of this group of people protecting the world. And
I mean, you're supposed to be the director.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be you and Barclay. And so were you counting on Barclay taking care of these two monsters, these two bomb-bombs? Because guess what? He didn't.
Right. Barclay doesn't appear to be particularly competent either as a sort of Pine Guardian. Oh, that's neat.
As an aside, can we talk about briefly Thacker in the panic room?
Sure. That was weird.
And my main concern is that the panic room locks from the outside, has a camera inside the panic room, monitors.
Yeah, it's a real bad panic room. It's a bad panic room. It's a backwards room.
Yeah.
It's a jail cell.
Yeah.
They built a jail cell.
It's a dungeon. It's not a panic room.
It's not how a panic room works.
Is that what they tell prisoners? Hey, we're going to put you in the panic room. Nope.
You panic, so you go in the room. Yeah. Not I'm panicked and I go in the room. You go.
Yeah. As I was listening to that, I'm like, what a shitty panic room.
Yeah. It's a jail cell. It's a dungeon. It's bad.
Which I guess is fine, but isn't that already, like, dark and nefarious? Like, why do you have a dungeon?
I think it's fine and fair for, like, a dungeon or brig or whatever we want to call it to exist, because that exists in all sort of adventuring sci-fi things. I just think they need to use the right words for things. Or learn what a panic, or watch the movie Panic Room.
Right, yeah. Like, it's not that.
I thought you might have wanted to talk about, like, what Thacker said and did.
Nope, don't care about that.
All right.
I do.
Just let that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel similarly. Like, it's just another little thread that we don't have any context for, that suddenly we're just thrown in there. Like, you know, again.
Well,
like,
and maybe to that.
I think, you know, you teased earlier, like, well, that's not how a mystery works. But. And so to say that I like not knowing everything, I like being able to find things out, but there's been no structure for the way that we're getting these new threads connected, you know? And so it felt very similar when, you know, Minerva was like, yep, genocide, meteor's coming for me, super bad person, bye.
And also, like, to, we know that Minerva is with someone, to then draw out that she's the last survivor of her kind, but is also with someone else.
Well,
like, is
she, I assume that she was talking to Leo. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, so that's like a whole, that's a whole thing. Because who the fuck's, so, all right, let's go there. Who the, what the fuck is Leo doing?
Sword fighting?
And why?
General storing?
Right. So, but, like, if this motherfucker is a chosen, like Duck is, why can't he save his own goddamn general store?
That's what I was gonna ask.
Just like, you, there's with every, you know, we, there's a trope where, like, you have to play the part, the overpowered superhero, whatever, has to play the part, so they have to let certain things go. But at some point, there is always that breaking moment of, like, nope, this is where I have to go save the world. Like, this is why I'm here. Maybe I shouldn't let my shop collapse and, like, people almost die. But he just did. He didn't. He didn't. And maybe, did he not? Is he not allowed? Who would not allow him to do that? I mean, other than Griffin.
I mean,
that's not really in the fiction.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. It'll be interesting, I guess, to see how he sort of fits in, because it's not like he's been super helpful at this point to, like, I mean, yeah, maybe he's been present in Duck's life as, like, the, you know, like a quiet,
kindly neighbor.
Yeah, kindly neighbor, and sort of like a quiet, standoffish, not standoffish, but away from the action, overseer, like observer, just making sure nothing horrible happens. But now we've got all these monsters coming out of everywhere, and he's just, yeah, you guys got it. You don't need me. I'm some secret, super powerful, time traveling, you know, friend of genocidal people person.
With a big sword that he's kept somewhere.
Yeah, but you guys got it. You guys got it. Don't worry about it. Me and Mama will be over here doing nothing.
Okay.
You know, and that's my thing. Because, like, I think, you know, you draw some comparisons. So, like, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, Slayers have their Watcher. But when shit got really bad, even if he didn't know what he was going to do, Giles jumped in to try and solve that problem. You know, didn't stand on the sidelines. So maybe Minerva wasn't talking to Leo. But that's definitely how that felt.
Maybe Leo's just coming over to give him shit for LARPing in the yard.
I mean, right. That would be a great moment if the next opening scene of Amnesty in January was Leo going, so I've got this really cool LARPing crew going, and it seems like you might want to join us. You're going to have to put some foam on that sword, though.
I hope.
Like, totally disconnected.
Yeah, that would be, I would appreciate that.
Well, do you think Leo's sword talks too?
Hmm.
Like, is every sword a talking sword in this universe?
Maybe, like, instead of a mouth, it just has a nose.
It's just constantly sniffing.
Yeah. Yeah, or like exhaling through its nose when it's, like, upset.
All the sword can do is a discontented sigh.
Chris, you've got your part down. We know who you're playing in the movie.
Discontented sword number two.
Look, okay. That would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I want you to try reading that line again. But imagine that you've just heard a really bad portmanteau.
Hey guys, we're gonna go to the porner.
See, that was a little mouthy. Try it again from the nose.
A little mouthy. I'm sorry. I might have to physically block it.
Hey guys, let's go to the porner. Got it. Got it.
The porner is not a bad portmanteau. It's a great portmanteau. It's the best portmanteau.
I can't see. I think I need my vocal cords to fully express my discontent. There's so many mouth sounds that go along with being just super annoyed.
I bet there are enough swords that, like, when they come together, they form a full face, like the hands in the labyrinth. Like, you just need
Power Rangers.
Oh, Voltron, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you just need to hold them all together at the right places, and they form, like, the two eyes ones have to be pointed downward, and it forms the legs, and then you got the mouth one, and then some ear ones, and then a nose. It would be great. It would be awesome.
So this brings me back to then, how does Beacon know what's happening if we're assuming it's only a mouth?
That is a very good question. I'm guessing intuition.
Or telekinesis. Telekinesis.
What, is it telekinesis? That's not the right one,
is it?
That's
the moving one.
Yeah, that's moving with your mind. It would be just...
Telepathy.
Yeah. There we go. Maybe he has ESP.
Tele-anything. N.
Television.
Television. Does this get TV land?
So I'm just saying, I think this is my dream for the Swords of Amnesty.
And the Swords of Amnesty is a very good name for something.
Yeah, agreed. But they'll be like the ultimate hero. You just have to assemble the swords.
So we're going to need at least three more, possibly three more swords to join the party.
Counting Dux and Leo.
Yeah, we have nose and a mouth.
Right, we need two eyes and two ears. So four more would be what I would
say.
Well,
what if, I was thinking it's eyes on one, ears on another, and then maybe eyebrows on a third.
Well, really, so yeah, those ones just sort of furrow.
My favorite one.
Which is great for podcasting.
My favorite one.
It's all stage direction.
Is the mustache sword. It's just a big mustache just nestles right. It's actually more of like a dagger, but it nestles right in between Beacon and Nose Sword.
Nose Sword. Nose Goes.
Nose.
Leo's sword is now named Nose Goes.
This is a great idea.
This is probably one of our better ideas. Also, merchandising opportunities up the wazoo. It's basically Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a sword.
Well, it's like seven swords.
The seven swords of Potato Head.
I was hoping you'd go like Seven Swords of Amnesty or a Potato Head.
Seven Potato Swords of Amnesty.
Seven Potato They're Swords. Edible.
You have to fry them real good. The Seven Potato... Well, that's the episode title. I'm going to write that down real quick.
So let's talk briefly about the potential for Duck losing his powers.
But I mean, all he really uses is that whole ability to not take harm.
Yeah. I was going to say, I guess he had like the prophecy, but he never interpreted them as prophecies. So.
And he wouldn't get another one until the new hunt starts.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess we'd miss out on that. But
also, they haven't
been great anyway.
They have Indrid. Like, who needs a prophecy from the Chosen? They got fucking Mothman who can just prophesy all day.
I guess Duck may have had some buffs to certain skills that he might lose, but I don't think this is going to be a real deal breaker for the show.
That's fair.
You think there's just... I think there's one more hunt in this campaign. I think if they can't wrap it up in one more hunt, it's going to get a little long in the tooth. But there's a lot of threads that we may have imagined that Griffin needs to pull together to get this thing
wrapped
up.
Yeah, I think like, every every episode that passes, like, he opens more threads without closing any of them. It's like reading a Game of Thrones book. It's like, God damn, will you just finish the storyline?
Ah, I got another idea.
It's like, no, I won't.
Let me tell you about this island you haven't heard of yet, where there's a whole other group of folks.
Yeah, and here's why you need to know all of their history. And
right.
Also, side note, or other point that we haven't talked about yet, not really a side note, part of the main plot. Ned's partner comes back. And
then kind of leaves again. Comes back, steals some shit, leaves. Very good thief.
But what sort of fucking prison was he in?
Bad one.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'll be back. I just gotta go pick up my shit.
He was in a panic room.
Yeah, yeah, except like a one done right. One. Yeah. So he's walked out.
From the inside. Yeah.
Oh, I can just go.
Yeah. I feel like leaving today.
Okay, he recognized him from inside the penitentiary. What's going to happen? Oh, he just leaves and comes down and gets his stuff.
Right. And I know like a good amount of time has passed between that scene and what happened in this episode, but that's a lot of tracking down Ned to find him in the middle of West Virginia and find his store and then take all his shit.
Also, what? I mean, well, has it been that long? Maybe a couple of months in game?
I mean, it depends on like how good his like Google alerts are for the name Ned Chicane.
Well, no, but I mean, even just getting out of prison.
Yeah, that's a good point. The appeals process is quite lengthy.
Look, I saw half of season one of Prison Break, and I know it's not that easy.
That's good.
First thing you gotta do is get a tattoo.
What if you have one going in? What if it's like advanced placement prison?
Or did Ivy prison?
Irritable bowel prison.
That's
tough. Ugh, let's get off of this. This is a little blue.
I'm just saying, I thought it was a little on the nose that, like, that's not how prison works. You don't just leave.
You do when it's appropriate to the story.
Yeah, but it's no, I mean,
that's the definition of prison.
Like, it's like it's day camp. Like, oh, look, he left you a note because he could just get out whenever he wanted.
It'd be great if he was back in prison in the next episode. Like, he checked himself out, went and robbed Ned, and then came back to prison. It's like, I'm good. I just put it all in a bucket.
Yeah, sorry, it was work release. And my job is burglar, so...
Burglar. I'm a white hat burglar. I only steal from bad people. Something. I don't know. There's something there.
Also, how did Billy not do anything with this guy gallivanting around the Kryptonomica?
He probably fed Billy pizza.
But Kirby was also supposedly supposed to be there. So what the fuck?
Yeah, he's...
Also, security system. Like anything, he's supposed to be a good thief. Yeah. Have empty thieving things more than three locks.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Boys, this is just one big pile of frustration in this episode. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
It is a lot. Sorry, we're all a little down on it. It's just been a long couple weeks waiting, and it seems like we have
it's Christmas, damn it.
Long couple weeks left.
Yeah. Want to wrap up with a little bit of hopes and dreams? Hopes and dreams for the maybe end of Amnesty?
Hopes? Lightsabers?
That'd be dope. Dreams? What goes beyond? Do you dream it?
I fear...
Okay.
Well, I guess...
Then a hope is that we get a meaningful connection to all of these threads. The dream is that meaningful connection is lightsabers.
Nice. Well put. Well put together.
So, my hope would be... that we, like Jake said, we get connections between all these things.
But I did say lightsabers.
It's not done through lightsabers. It's not done through exposition. That's what I'm afraid of. It's going to be like, sit down and let's
Griffin opening monologue for a little while.
Or is it's going to be like Lucas in the Crystal Kingdom. 20 lightsabers. Oh, God, fuck. Don't remind me of the WC shit. I hate that.
He was better about it this episode.
Yeah, he hasn't done it much lately, and it's been so much better when you don't just say WC before everything. So, I'm hoping it's all going to be exposition-based, like Mama explains this. But I'm also hoping we actually make progress on some of this shit instead of just opening up new cans of worms.
Yeah. I think that would go solidly into my dream category, is that Amnesty wraps up with a very satisfying plot tie-up where they sufficiently close all the openings. I guess, you know, they might have to leave themselves an out to continue adventuring, but I think it's built to just be able to keep going as long as you can find a new threat. You know, that's fine. But I want a succinct wrap-up to the Sylvain and current crap of Bomb-Bomb, plotline. And I'll hope that it's wrapped up before Easter. That would be my hope.
Oh,
with lightsabers.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll be that quick.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I don't think so either.
I think we probably have two or three more hunts.
Oh, God, that's so many. I can't. Oh, God.
I mean, if they're doing like six episodes a hunt, and they said it would be, what, half as long or two-thirds as long as Balance? That would put it at 30.
Put us at about the halfway point then.
Yeah, 30 or 40 total. We're at 19.
I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I don't know where we go from here either. Like, I don't know what's next.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very careful line they have to walk. This is very personal, but it's going to be a very careful line they have to walk into the next arc of the Adventure Zone to maintain my interest at the level it has been previously.
I guess
I'm flagging a little bit.
That's been the frustrating thing for me, is I don't get excited when it shows up in my feed anymore. Like, I enjoy listening to it when I get to it, but
clear my lunch anymore to.
Yeah, I listened to this most recent episode today, you know, whereas I never went to Thursday without listening to the whole episode already.
Yeah. It's tough.
I read a comment online. I think it was on Reddit. I don't remember who said it. And so I apologize for stealing your thunder. But he made
literally been your bit this whole episode.
Right.
The whole series.
That's
true.
The conceit of your character.
Right. But it was intended for people to purposefully give me their ideas so I could steal them.
Not go trolling for them.
Right. I had to do work to find this one, and I want credit for that work. But he mentioned, or the comment mentioned, that, you know, Balance was so special because it was basically it was a car that learned how to fly. You know, sort of, it was doing something it was never expected to do, but now everybody, including the creators, knows that it can fly. So it's like trying to build a plane that can fly. Something, you know, you're going out there with the outset that's going to be this great, big, meaningful story. And everybody's expectations are there because of how Balance went. And it's, you know, it's if you have that big of ambition, it's just that much harder to reach it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the stakes were certainly high coming into season two of The Adventure Zone for what this effectively is. And I wonder, I would be very curious to be a fly on the wall for any conversations that they have, that the McElroys have about what the podcast is doing, how they are feeling about it. You know, I really hope to get a very insightful The Adventure Zone after this one. And I hope they share, honestly, whatever they're feeling. I don't know if it'll be anything similar to what we're saying, but I'd be very interested to know where their mental states are and what their feelings are about The Adventure Zone.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Especially with all the other projects they have happening, it seems like, you know, there's a risk of it becoming an afterthought and being such a grand thing that they've put together. It seems a shame if they let it sort of go to the wayside.
Yeah, but at the same time, if it's not producing the quality of show, I guess, as they want it to be. It might not
be. Or engaging them. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if all of us are feeling flagging, I don't know if they're feeling the same passion for it they were. You know, I don't know if these characters are clicking for them as well, or the story, or you know, who knows.
But yeah.
I'd love to.
Well, and I mean, I think that gets back to the point about this being much more of a job now.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and part true. Of that job is that they have so many other things going on. And, you know, this gets back to I have empathy for that kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, it's really hard to maintain interest and engagement with any one thing if you have 4 million on your plate.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it easier for us as consumers of that product.
A fair point. A very fair point. And on that, I think we've reached the end of our analysis for this week. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us for another episode of We Do That, your home for all the best takes on McElroy's Adventuring Podcast. If you would be so kind, please do leave us a review on your favorite podcasting service, especially iTunes, for all of our Apple folk out there, as that is a big help. You can always find us on Twitter at WeDoThat_pod. Or email us at wedothatpod@gmail.com. We would love to hear your thoughts. Are you still excited about Amnesty? Are you still excited about the Adventure Zone? Do you have any fears? Are you up late at night like we are, worrying that our beloved Taz might go the way of things I found at Sheetz, never to be seen again, except for on an odd occasion? Let us know. We'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to talk about what you talked about. And until next time, well, so we're going to keep on our schedule of we come out Thursdays after the Adventure Zone. So it's on them to keep showing up on some sort of Thursday, and we'll be there 1 week after for you. Thank you so much to The Early for our intro and outro music, and thank you so much to all of you for listening again. Bye, everybody.